Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. Parshas Bamidbar, we change the tune from Bechukosai. After all the rebuke, now God has accepted what Bnei Israel have done. And the Parsha begins once again like it did in Bahar and at the end of Bechukosai. It mentions it two times, Bahar Sinai. And now again, Bahar Sinai. Previously, the thought process was that all the mitzvos were given on Har Sinai, but now what's the point at this point in saying that God and Moshe spoke to Bnei Israel Be'er Har Sinai in Har Sinai? It's to tell you that at this point in time, it says B'chodesh Hashini B'yachod L'chodesh on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, this is only the second year, so they've been now only 12 and a half months that they left Mitzrayim. They've been sitting at Har Sinai for this past year. They haven't moved. They've been learning the 613 mitzvos. They've been taking this crash course. And it's, of course, been very difficult. And that's why God plan to do all this here in the Midbar with no distractions. If they had gone right into Eretz Yisrael, when it said Ki Karov Hu, there are other ways to say, there are other meanings to the words Ki Karov Hu at the beginning of B'Shalach, because once they got into Eretz Yisrael, if they had gone in right away, it's every man for himself spreading out. And here God had them, their full attention at Har Sinai with no distractions and everything set forth for them that they were able to be all together and learn from each other and get used to seeing each other, making friends and making just acquaintances and getting to know each other. But the parasha begins very interestingly with so many lessons. You see that it has, of course, the focal point of the parasha is the census, and it's taken two different times. There's reasons for that, but the language in almost every aliyah leaves something open to wondering why there are so many languages that are words that God chooses every word for a message. And it's not necessarily for Klal Yisrael to hear at this time. It's for us because they didn't understand. Moshe wasn't reading the Chumash to them, obviously. He was gathering together. So the lessons are for us or for the generations after or even for the Bnei Yisrael at the end of what would be the 40 years in the Midbar for them to see it then. And what I mean by that is as follows. When it starts to give the census, it says, at the beginning, we have Reuven and Shimon and then God. By Reuven and Shimon, it says, L'gulgal Osam. Gulgal Osam means the person's head. And that's a head count. Literally, that's where the term comes from. They were taking literally a head count. But after we finish with Shimon and Reuven and Shimon, it doesn't use the word L'gulgal Osam for any of the other Shvatim, which is also a very important point. And the point of that is that Reuven and Shimon, when they got their bracha from Yaakov, it was, unfortunately, he said, Kochi v'reishis oni yeses eis v'yeseroz pachas kamayim al tosar k'yolisa mishkevei avicha. They had to be, their sins had to be expiated. And now what they were doing is they were being counted and each one was once again being told it was L'gulgal Osam. Each person was being told of the Averis and Shimon, the same thing, Arur Apam Ki Oz, Shevet Levi was put to the side, which is why we'll get to that shortly. But Shimon also created many in the Midbar. Shimon was part of many various Averis, not only Zimri ben Solu, but various other things at the time. Shimon somehow never really learned their lesson when Levi did. What's also interesting is after Shimon or Reuven and Shimon, so you would think that Moshe wouldn't start with Reuven, but he wanted to give him in an effort to placate Reuven because the Bechorah had been taken away from him and given to Yosef, and Yehuda was also put forth as on top of everything. Shevet Levi was going to be the kahuna now. So he needed to placate. God wants to, after all the rebuke, God wants to placate and mollify Bnei Israel to create some unity, to create Achdus and Klal Yisrael is what this parsha is all about, creating a sense of community. And so it starts with Reuven and Shimon. Interestingly enough, the next Shevet is not Levi, of course, not Levi, but not Yehuda, but God. And we see the symbolism of the symbolism there is that we're going to see that this is creates an Achdus with Reuven and God, because we know at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, when we get to Matos Maaseh, we have Reuven, Vayom Reuvenei God, Uvnei Reuven, that they wanted to stay Aver HaYarden, so they grew close, because one might ask, when they came home from the wars, each when they went to the war, they took 1,000 people from each Shevet, they brought home all these animals and all these things. You would think that most of the Shvatim certainly had an equal amount, an equal share in all the spoils of war that they brought back, but nevertheless, they, Reuven and Gad, said they had so many that they wanted to stay Aver HaYarden, where the grazing land was better. So we see the first reason for Reuven, God, Reuven, Shimon, and God to be together. Of course, Shimon's Nachla was spread out throughout Klal Yisrael because Shimon was dangerous. It's like telling a felon not to associate with other felons. Shimon's Shevet had to be spread out. And Afitzein b'Yaakov, Achalkein b'Yaakov, Afitzein b'Yisrael. And that's what Yaakov had said, to spread them out throughout Klal Yisrael so that they don't congregate as an entire Shevet themselves. And then the next thing we see is very interesting, that again, when it gives all the things, when it says Livnei Reuven, Livnei Shimon, it gives all the counts. And this is really the focal point. Why in the world would we have to go through 12 different Shvatim and it gives the count of each Shevet? And then they gives them their marching orders, their formations, that three Shvatim, east, north, south, and west, dividing up the 12 Shvatim in the sections of three, and telling us again, once again, the whole count. They could just tell us that you three will march here, you three will march here. Why do we have to get the count that way? And the very important point is here that when we're trying to create Achdus, you notice we don't say that in America, you know, when we think about the population of the Jews in the world, we don't start to say, well, in America, we have 6 million. In Israel, you have 7 million. In various other places, you have a few million here and there. We don't know exactly, but we estimate 15, 16 million Jews, whatever it is. But generally speaking, when we talk about the Jewish population, we always seem to mention the total, the aggregate of all the Jews in the world, regardless of which country they're in. And the strength in numbers, we want to say that there will, we see the parade on Sunday when people are flying in from various places to show their support. It's wonderful to see when we have people coming in from other places, not just even people who flew in from Israel, as we saw. I was very happy to see my son, one of my children who was making Aliyah in August with his family. They were up front and center because all the people that are making Aliyah this summer were also, you know, they put them front and center to show these other people from America that are making Aliyah. But the fact is that it creates a tremendous sense of achdus, and it tells us this: to the sum is greater than the whole, is greater than the sum of its parts. You could have one shevet and one shevet, but when we put three together and then 12 altogether, this section had 300,000, this section had 500,000, and so on and so forth, until we get to the 603,550. The next question that we might ask is that when we counted the first time, it was also unbelievable. We might think that it was 603,550. How could it be the same number twice? Was it a miracle? But the reality is, it's not necessarily that, because we have to remember that in Parshas Ki Sisa, when they counted the Bnei Yisrael, they counted Shevet Levi. And that was 22,000 people approximately then. We're not sure how many, but Shevet Levi was in the count. So now there are still 22,000 more people in Klal Yisrael, because they're taking away the count of Levi in the 603,000. These are just the little points of order that we want to mention in terms of so many different questions are asked. But we get to a very important point, which is also besides the sense of achdus, God wants to make sure that we understand the need for achdus, because the next thing after the aggregate is noticed after the second count, and we get to the number of 603,550. As I mentioned, God says to Moshe, "I'm sorry, but not I'm sorry, but ach es matei Levi lo sif kod v'es rosham lo sisa. Don't count Shevet Levi. The Shevet Levi stands alone. They were the ones who, when you said Mila Shem Elai v'yasfu elav kol b'nei Levi." The whole Shevet of Levi stood firm, and nobody from Shevet Levi was involved in the Egel, and therefore they were the Bechorah, the Kahuna was taken away from Shevet Reuven and given to Shevet Levi. Wonderful. But the interesting thing about that pasuk is, why say it twice? Ach es matei Levi lo sif kod, don't count Shevet Levi. V'yes roshom lo sisa. What does it mean? It's a change of language. We seem to think v'yes roshom lo sisa, don't count their heads. We know, like even from next week's parsha, when it says no, so es rosh b'nei Gershom at the beginning of next parsha, we use the word no, so to count as well. But in this pasuk, that's not what it means. We have to look at the context. When it says, after it says, Ach es matei Levi lo sif ko, don't count them, v'yes rosham lo sisa, it doesn't have anything to do with counting. It is once again a message. Moshe is being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that now that I've chosen them to be the Levium, who will be the Nosei Aron, the Nosei HaMikdash, and have this job where they don't go out to war, so to speak. They have a very unenviable job, actually, to surround the Aron and make sure nobody gets close. And even if they touch it, we have to remember that even they couldn't touch it, even when they carried it, they were only able to carry it when Aaron and Elazar and Isamar gave them strict instructions of what to do. They couldn't touch it until it was all covered up. B'mechseh artachash, that's when they were able to carry it. You might think that they get swelled heads because they have been singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being holier than thou. They might think they're better than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So don't count them, but make sure they understand. V'yes rosham lo sisa. Don't lift up their heads in terms of making them feel special, because they're just another shevet of Jews. God is trying to reestablish the Achdus and Klal Yisrael after what was going on in the past year. They're getting ready to march into Klal Yisrael, into Bnei, in Eretz Yisrael. They're getting ready to march into the land. They're choosing sides for war. They're getting their marching orders, as we see finishing up in next week's Sedra and in the beginning of Bahaloscha as well, before everything starts to go south. The fact is that God wants them to be the Achdus. Levi would march in between, in the middle, except for the first time, the only time that the Aron was in front of Klal Yisrael. Of course, it was only twice. Otherwise, it always marched in the center of Klal Yisrael, because that is the focal point. The Mishkan, the Aron, and all the Klei HaKodesh, that would be in the center, Shevet Levi. But make sure they don't become arrogant. V'yes rosham lo sisa. They're just another shevet marching in Klal Yisrael. They have a job to do, but no better and no worse than anybody else. The people who sit home and learn are no different than the people who have their job on the home front. And that's another thing you notice when it says mi ben esrim shono v'mala. We always think of it, how old is an age limit? There's certainly, you have to be at least 20 to be eligible to do battle, but it doesn't have an age limit to when it is. We start to think of from 20 to 60, but if you notice over here, it does not say when you're 60. It doesn't want to put a cap on it, because there are many, many people, even when they are 60, are still very physically fit and able to do their share. And even if they aren't, they still have the ability to be on the home front. And that's what we see in Eretz Yisrael today. There are so many people that are obviously private citizens. They don't have much of a standing army, but many of the private citizens are going to battle. And in the ages of the upper 20s, the 30s, and even they don't have to serve after 40, but so many of them over 40 are serving in whatever capacity they put them, maybe not on the front lines, but there is that sense of achdus. That's what God wants to try to instill in Klal Yisrael at this point in time. Es matei levi losif kod, but make sure v'es rosham lo sisa. Don't let them think they're better than anybody else. And that's what the message of the parsha is. We're counting them. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Every shevet has a chelek, and every shevet has a place and a job to do. And even Shevet Levi, they have their job, not more, not less, but this is what they've been chosen to do. Of course, their job is a very important one because Vahazorah Karev, you must. They have to make sure that there are a lot of people who might want to, you see in museums, they have the pieces covered and ropes set up. And not that the alarm, if you would touch a painting, the alarm would go off. Here, the Levium had to make sure that the people, well, curiosity seekers wanted to see and get close. And if they would touch it, they had to circle around it and make sure that nobody touched it. This was a very difficult job. They had a very strenuous job. And the reason we take a look at all the numbers of Klal Yisrael, God is so forward-thinking that we think of all the Shvatim, the numbers ranging from 40-odd thousand to 75,000. Two Shvatim are over 70, many of them in the 40s and the 50s, and a little bit lower. Binyamin, believe it or not, who had a very low count, you would think more. But also, Shevet Levi had only 22,000. And why would that be? Think about it in today's day and age when we have how many government workers do we have to support many years ago? There are so many more hundreds of thousands with all the government positions, whether it's federal, state, or city. We have a tremendous responsibility. Great part of our budget is subsidizing all the government workers, wherever they may be, whether it's sanitation or police, firemen, government workers, FBI, CIA. I don't have to list all the numbers of government agencies. And God understands that since the Bnei Israel will have the onus of supporting the 22,000 people of Levi, lest they start to feel that there's too many of them for us to support, God keeps their numbers down. It's very interesting to think about it that way. But God is very rational too and understanding of the people. And this is so that they don't clamor and say that the taxes are too high and things we is too much to do, so that we're the Shvatim that have 30, 40, and up to 70,000 don't feel the strain of supporting only 22,000 Levim because that would be their job. And this is all in effect to create a sense of achdus. Baruch Hashem, we saw what happened in the parade Sunday. It was a pleasant day. It was people get to see each other. Klal Yisrael gets together and we see people that we haven't seen many times. Usually, I always meet a few people that I haven't seen for years. And somehow at the parade, we see again, and whether they're older teachers that we had. By now, for me, it's students that I've had many years ago. They're looking for me or for people that we see. It's a wonderful experience to see that achdus. And for the 40 years that they're spending in close quarters in the Midbar, that is to strengthen the unity in Klal Yisrael, to really get to know each other and to feel each other's joy, share each other's pain, share each other's joy, share each other's simchas, people getting married, having children, And it's wonderful when we catch up with these people. Imagine living, so to speak, in a bungalow colony for 40 straight years with no worries about your work. And this was God's plan to establish this. He understood that it would take so many years to reach that point in time when they would be able to enter Eretz Yisrael and fight for the land in a state of unity, because that's the only way we could win the battle. Baruch Hashem, we see that in this day and age right now, in our time this year, as bad as things have been, we see that Klal Yisrael has really been basically very much together here, and they want to see it through. Hopefully, God will give us the strength and the wisdom to fight this battle till its end and to a successful conclusion. Thank you, and have a good week.